Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of 2 Chronicles, chapter 34. 2 Chronicles, chapter 34. We'll read verse 21 together. And we'll turn to another verse here later in the chapter and read as well. 2 Chronicles, chapter 34, verse number 21. Chronicles chapter 34, verse number 21. Let's read this verse together in unison, please. Ready? Go inquire of the Lord for me and for them that are left in Israel and Judah concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out upon us, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do after all that is written in this book. Turn also to the same chapter, verse 31, 2 Chronicles 34, verse 31. We'll read this verse also in unison. Ready? And the king stood in his place and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart and with all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant which are written in this book. And then I'll read yet one other verse. You need not turn there. 2 Kings chapter 22, verse number 13 reads, Go ye, inquire the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book to do according unto all that is written concerning us. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much that we can call you our Father. Lord, thank you for a goodly heritage that you've given us. Thank you for a book that you left us to teach us how to live. Father, please be with our preacher today. Fill him with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen. Change our hearts, change our minds, and change how we live, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
This morning, I'm going to preach a Father's Day message. It will not be what you think. Men, if you are brave enough, I thought maybe we could have a men's meeting for a little while. You say brave enough, yeah. If you've got a woman or your wife sitting by you, you'll probably cower in the corner while I preach. But it'd be good if you wake up and shout amen every once in a while. And so I'm counting on it on some of you. You know, I need a man in this section over here just to be man enough every once in a while to say amen. And I'll need a man in this section to cover it. I'll need a man in this section and a man in this section and a man in this section. I've already scoured this section and we're a little weak over there. You know, we got John Kidwell back there and Phillips and Bajent. I'm not sure anybody over there is going to, oh, Ronnie Schiffler, what a wimp. I don't know if we'll get Ronnie to say anything over there. In the balcony, somebody to say amen every once in a while. Men on the platform, I'd be pleased if you'd just stay awake during the preaching today. Men in the choir, if you could get with it every once in a while. But we're going to have a little bit. I'm going to talk to the men for a while today. Oh, but ladies, you won't feel left out. I promise you that. You won't feel left out. Today's Father's Day. Someone gave this to me. Four expectant fathers were in the maternity waiting room while their wives were in labor. The nurse tells the first man, "Congratulations, you're the father of twins." The man said, "What a coincidence. I work for the Minnesota Twins baseball game." The nurse returns to the waiting room and says to the second man, "You are the father of triplets." "Wow, what a coincidence," the man says. "I work for the 3M Corporation." The nurse tells a third man that his wife has given birth to quadruplets. "Another coincidence," and the man says, "I work for the Four Seasons Hotel." About that time, the fourth man faints. They finally bring him to, and the other guy said, "Well, what's wrong with you?" He said, "I work for 7-Up. Today, I'm going to tell all the fathers, young and old alike, the key to fatherhood. Let me tell you right now, the name of my sermon this morning is entitled, This Book. This Book. This Book. You will be a good father based on what you do with this book. You'll be a bad father. If so, it'll be based on what you didn't do with this book. Fathers, I'm going to give you advice today. The best thing that you could do, the best thing that you could give to your children. Say, what is it, Brother Owens? This book. This book. I preach today from a King James Bible. Let there be no question what book I talk about. I tell you up front. Don't try to tuck it away in my preaching. Not ashamed of that. I have on my desk a document from a preacher that calls himself a true blue fundamentalist who is recommending a book that's packed full of other than King James Bible verses in Scripture. If I told you who it was, you would be shocked. But he's getting off track. It's coming, slowly but surely. I have no problem telling you, I'm talking about the King James Bible. That's the one. That's the one. I preach from the King James Bible. But this morning, I preach from a special Bible. I preach from my daddy's Bible. My father is a pastor and been preaching for many, many years. This morning, I preach from a Bible that my daddy gave me many, many years ago. If you got to see it, the pages are worn and torn. You can see the pages where they've been soiled, where Dad would take it to work. His dirty fingertips would turn those pages. There are pages that have been soiled by teardrops and sweat drops. I preach from my daddy's Bible this morning. You know, the best thing that a child could do for their dad is not just give him a Father's Day card. It would be to live this book. The best thing a dad could give to his child is this book. Not long ago, our ladies had a nursery worker banquet, and Mrs. Russell and I think Mrs. Domley put their heads together, and they decided they're going to have a little auction at the nursery workers banquet. They would auction a few things off, and it would help to pay for the banquet. And they came to me and said, Brother Owen, could you give us something that we could auction off? I said, sure. I grabbed the Bible. I've got it. I've got all my study Bibles. I only use one, the King James Bible, but I have some that I've used through the years. I grabbed the Bible off my shelf, and I handed it to Mrs. Russell. She got it and she said, oh my, that's Brother Owens' ordination Bible. I didn't realize Dr. Jack Hiles ordained me. I'm not ashamed of that. Dr. Jack Hiles ordained me many years ago, and it was the Bible that was given to me many years ago as ordination Bible. Hope my son Joshua found out. He talked to Mrs. Russell. He said, Mrs. Russell, that's my dad's ordination Bible. Does he know that that's what he gave you? And she said, I don't know. I don't think he knows which Bible he gave me. Well, she came to me and said, Preacher, that Bible is really attractive to your son. Did you know it was your ordination Bible? I said, I didn't realize that. She said, well, let me give that back to you. That's an inheritance. You're going to want to give that to your kids. And just so you know, you're absolutely right. I want to give this book to my kids. So I reached up there and grabbed another Bible off the shelf. I got about eight or nine of them I'd used through the years. I grabbed a Bible off the shelf. I said, here you go, Mrs. Russell. Take that back to your room. She went back. She popped it open. Front page said, if anything happens to me, give this Bible to my son, Jeffrey Allen Owens II. It was a Bible that my wife gave me the night before we got married at our wedding rehearsal. It was a wedding gift. And she had given me that old King James Bible. And I carried it for years and preached out of it. Mrs. Russell called me. She said, Brother Owens, do you know which Bible you gave me? I said, no, which one did I give you? She said, you gave me one that you planned on passing down to your oldest son. She said, don't you think maybe? I said, yeah, I probably should. I found a Bible Brother Bush gave me, and that's the one I gave away. No, I finally dug through there, and I found a Bible. I found the one that I preached from the night that I was called to this church as pastor. And we used that Bible, and that way it stayed right here in this church because it's such a memory. But you know, I got to thinking about that story, and I got to thinking about how my son wanted Dad's Bible. Oh. Dads, I don't know what you want to pass on to your boys, but I want to pass down to my kids this book. This book. My son wanted Dad's Bible. What a great inheritance. I don't really know what Father's Day is all about to everybody else, but let me tell you something. I have a Heavenly Father. My Heavenly Father said, "Jeff, I have something for you." I said, "What is it, Dad?" He said, "This book." This book, what a treasure, this book. This book we read earlier and together, 2 Chronicles 34:21, where it said, I go to the middle of the verse, it says, "The Lord that is poured out upon us because our fathers have not kept the words of the Lord to do after all that is written in this book." See, the Bible says there were some fathers in trouble. Why? Because they had not used this book. It's the words it uses, this book. 2 Chronicles 34:31. It says, "And his testimonies and his statutes with all his heart, with all his soul, to perform the words of the covenant which are written in this book." It says in 2 Kings 22:13, it uses this book, "and fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book." In Revelation 22:7, it mentions this book. In Revelation 22:9, it mentions this book. In Deuteronomy 29:20, it mentions this book. You say, "What book?" This book. God's book. God's Word. That's what it mentions. Now, did you know that the word Bible does not show up in the Bible? The word Bible comes from a Greek word, biblios. That means the book. The book. You say, "Which book?" This book. This book is what God is talking about. And listen, hey, the King James Bible is not one of many. It is one of a kind. We're talking about this book. Now, there have been a lot of popular books written through the years. Did you know that at the very top of the charts for selling through all history, the greatest book ever distributed is the Word of God, the Bible. Still at the top of the charts. Oh, hey, did you know in second place, though, were quotations from Chairman Mao by Mao Zedong. Now, that book doesn't show up on my bestseller list. But for the bestseller list in America, the American Spelling Book by Noah Webster. That's number three. Number four is Guinness Book of World Records by Mark C. Young. I think those books are really cool. In fifth place was the World Almanac by the World Almanac Editors. The sixth place was the McGuffey Reader by William Holmes McGuffey. The seventh place was a book called The Common Sense Book of Baby and Child Care by Benjamin Spock, which was one of the most wicked books ever written in history. And it is part of what created a revolt in America. And we've had kids messed up ever since then. Number eight is A Message to Garcia by Albert Hubbard. Never heard of that book personally. Number nine is In His Steps. It was a book about what would Jesus do by Charles Monroe Sheldon. And book number 10, Valley of the Dolls by Jacqueline Suzanne. Those are the top 10 selling books in America. But the only book God ever wrote is the Bible. It's the only book that makes the claims that I'll preach to you today. Dads, let me tell you what the answer is to fatherhood. This book. Let me tell you how to be a good daddy. This book. Let me tell you how to be a good father. This book. Let me tell you how to be a good Christian. This book. This book. This book. You see, let me say number one. This book is a good book. Psalm 119:68 says, "Thou art God and dost good. Teach me thy statutes." There it talks about it's a good book. Hebrews 6:5 says, "And have tasted the good word of God." Proverbs 4:2 says, "For I give you good doctrine, forsake not my law." Micah 2:7 says, "O thou that art named the house of Jacob, is the spirit of the Lord straitened? Are these his doings? Do not my words do good unto him that walketh uprightly?" I say to you, number one, this book is a good book. This book is full of goodness. This book is totally against bad. This book teaches about the good things. This book teaches about being good fathers. This book teaches good words. This book teaches good times. This book teaches about good men. This book teaches about good things. This book teaches about good women. This book teaches about good leaders. This book teaches about good thoughts.
This book teaches about good followers. This book teaches about good attitudes. This book teaches about good mothers. This book teaches about good children. This book teaches about good habits. This book teaches about good teachers. This book teaches about good schools. This book teaches about good ideas. This book teaches about good Christians. This book teaches about good deeds. This book teaches about good friends. This book teaches about good times. This book teaches about good lives. This book teaches about good homes. This book teaches about good churches. This book teaches about good spirits. This book teaches about good doctrine. This book teaches about good clothing. This book teaches about good people. This book teaches about good teachers and relationships. This book is the good book. I'm talking about the good book. Historically, we have called the old black book the good book. You ever get around an old gray hair? They'll say, let me get the good book. Let me get the good book. Now, some of you young whippersnappers, you might say, what are they talking about? The good book. There's only one really good book. It's the Bible. The Bible. This book is good for you. Get the new look from the good book. From the good book. Hey, Dad, this book. This book. This book. This book is what you're looking for. I say, number one, this book is a good book. I say to you, number two, this book is an infallible book. This book is an infallible book. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. 2 Peter 1, verse 20 and 21 says, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. This book will never fail. This book brings victory. This book will never be a loser. This book will never fail you financially. This book will never fail you spiritually. This book will never fail you emotionally. This book will never fail you physically. This book will not fail you as a father. This book will not fail for if you're a human being. This book will not fail you, mama. This book will not fail you, Christian. This book will not fail you, leader. This book will not fail you, American. This book will not fail you, follower. This book will not fail you, counselor. This book will not fail you, young man who is a son. This book will not fail you when you're lonely. This book will not fail you, daughter. This book will not fail you when you're right. This book will not fail you when you're wrong. This book will not fail you, employee. This book will not fail you, employer. This book will not fail you if you're a man. This book will not fail you when you're sick. This book will not fail you if you're a woman. This book will not fail you if you're a blonde. It can help everybody. This book will not fail you if you're a brother. This book will not fail you if you're a sister. This book will not fail you if you're a parent. This book will not fail you if you want to be the right kind of a friend. This book will not fail you, grandma. This book will not fail you, grandpa. This book will not fail you, Sunday school teacher. This book will not fail you, student. This book has never failed anyone. This book, this book, this book, Dad. Hey, some of you need to put Sports Illustrated down and pick up your Bible and realize you've got this book. This book. This book. This book, you see, this book has never failed anyone from the past. This book has never failed anyone. It's not failing anyone now, and it will fail no one in the future. If you say, Brother Owens, I have put my faith in the old black book. I've put my faith in the good book. I'm trusting the words of Jesus Christ that one of these days, when I die, I'm going to wake up in heaven. Well, let me guarantee you something. If you're trusting this book for your future hope for heaven, you're not going to be let down. This book. This book. Hey, Dad. This book. This book. This book is the book that we're looking for. I said to you, number one, this book is a good book. I say to you, number two, this book is an infallible book. I say to you, this book is a perfect book. A perfect book. God promises in His Word, Psalm chapter 12, verse 6 and 7. The words of the Lord are pure words. It's silver, tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse number 14, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before Him. Psalm 19:7 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The Bible says in Psalm 119, verse number 96, I have seen an end of all perfection, but thy commandment is exceeding broad. I'm telling you today, this book is a perfect book. This book has no mistakes in it. It's perfect. This book has no flaws in it. It's perfect. This book has no errors in it. It's perfect. This book has no contradictions in it. It's perfect. This book has no inaccuracies in it. It is perfect. This book has no miscalculations in it. It's perfect. This book has no oversights in it. It's perfect. This book has no slip-ups in it. It's perfect. This book has no blunders in it. It's perfect. This book has no goofs in it. It's perfect. This book has no bull in it. It's perfect. This book has no faults in it. It's perfect. This book has no improprieties in it. It's perfect. This book has no inadequacies in it. It's perfect. This book has no wrongs in it. It's perfect. This book is a perfect counseling book. This book is a perfect leadership book. This book is a perfect child rearing book. This book is a perfect church building book. This book is a perfect book about marriage. This book is a perfect father's guide to success. What book? This book. This book is a perfect financial assistant book. This book, Dad. This book. This book. This book. This book. This book, Dad. I say to you, number four, this book is a God-inspired book. Luke chapter 24, verse 32, it says, and they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while He talked with us by the way, while He opened to us the Scriptures? Jesus was walking with some people. As He began to speak, their hearts began to burn. Their hearts began to burn within them. Why? Because the words spoken of Jesus Christ move the human heart. The words spoken by God Himself are words of power and influence. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. This is the only book God ever wrote. What book? This book. This book. This book. This book. Hey, Dad, this book. That's the answer. This book. This book is an inspired book. This book is a God-breathed book. This is a God-produced book. This book is a God-written book. This book is a God-delivered book. This book is a God-furnished book. This book is a God-supplied book. This book is a God-controlled book. This book is a God-contributed book. This book is a God-granted book. This book is a God-created book. This book is a God-bestowed book. This book is a God-penned book. This book is a God-dispensed book. This book is a God-guided book. This book is a God-transferred book. This book is a God-given book. This book is a God-conferred book. This book is a God-furnished book. This book is a God-delivered book. This book is a God-made book. This book is a God-generated book. This book is a God-breathed book. This is a God-birthed book. This book was written by God, not man. This book comes from God's mind and God's heart. This book is God's book. This book was supernaturally produced. This book is a God-inspired book. So, Brother Owens, what's the answer? This book. Say, I'm here. It's Father's Day. I come to get some help. I'm giving you the best help you'll ever get. I'm giving you the best child-rearing information you'll ever get. I can help you fix up your marriage. I can help you fix up your finances. I can help you fix up your eternity. I can help you fix up your relationship with your sons and your daughters and your moms and your dads. You say, Brother Owens, where's the answer? This book. This book. That book right there. This book, you see. This book. This book. This book. The Old Testament, they said, our fathers have forsaken this book. This book. What's happened in America? Men, dads, husbands have forsaken this book. This book is the book of our forefathers. This book. This book. This book. This book is the good book, Dad. This book is an infallible book, Dad. This book is a perfect book. This book is an inspired book. And this book is a powerful book. Oh, you hold, hey, you think, 4th of July's come, I'm going to get me some firecrackers and some M80s, and some of you from here in West Virginia, some dynamite. Well, I'll tell you something. If you hold in your hands a King James Bible, you got more power tucked under your arm at church this morning than you could get in a case of dynamite. Brother Greenlee runs a little meeting for us for our children on Thursday nights, where the children of the parents that go out soul winning, they go over and they have someone to spend some time with, and we call it the Dunamis Club. Say, what is that? That's a dynamite club. That's what dunamis is. Dunamis is a Greek word for power, explosion. I'm here to tell you today, this book is a powerful book. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." Here the Bible says the word of God can get down inside you. The word of God can get inside you and convict you. The word of God can dice us to shreds and open us up so we can see all the festering filth that's on the inside. It's a powerful book. This book is. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when we received the word of God which ye heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is the word of truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." The word effectually there means it's effective. You say, "I want some effective fathering principles, Brother Owens. I'm giving to you this book. This book is a powerful book. This book is a forceful book. This book is a mighty book. This book is a solid book. This book is a dynamic book. This book is an unbeatable book. This book is an energetic book. This book is a strong book. This book is a vigorous book. This book is a great book. This book is an infallible book. This book is an effective book. This book is a potent book. This book is an efficient book. This book is a productive book. This book is a convincing book. This book is an invincible book. This book is an unstoppable book. This book is a capable book. This book is a stupendous book. This book is an authoritative book. This book is a dominant book. This book is a supreme book. This book is a sovereign book. This book is a strong book. Hey, no force in the universe is greater than the force and the power of this book. God influences great men by the power of this book. God changes churches by the power of this book. God changes nations by the power of this book. God runs the universe by the words of this book. You say, "Well, what's a big deal?" You mean, what's a big deal about a book that's all powerful, a book that's perfect, a book that is infallible? It's a big deal. It's a big deal. This book. This book. This book. This book. Say, "Brother Owens, I want to be a good dad." This book. "I want to be a good husband." This book. "I want to be a good Christian." This book. This book. This book. Let me say number 6. This book is a profitable book. It's a profitable book. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 16 says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness." The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 8, "For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come." Acts chapter 20, verse number 32 says, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of His grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all men, among all them which are sanctified." You see, this book is a book of profit. Here it says twice it is profitable. Acts 20:32, it talks about an inheritance. You see, your heavenly Father has some things to pass down to you. And your heavenly Father is going to give you the riches of His glory and the riches of His wisdom and the riches of His power. And you inherit it as a child of God. And God said, "I've got some good things to pass down to you. Hey, son, I've got some things I want to pass down to you." You say, "Daddy, what is it?" "This book." "Hey, son, I've got some things to pass down to you." "Son, I have some things to pass down to you." "My daughter, my son-in-law, soon to be JV, I've got some things to pass down to you." Now, Daddy may never be rich, Daddy may not have a lot to give you, but I'm going to do my dead level best, kids. I'm going to do my dead level best to hand you a pure word of God. I'm not going to let the liberals go across this nation and deceive us and make us believe there are all sorts of editions of the Bible. No, this book. This book. I've tried to pass down to you the things that would make you a success in life, kids. I've tried to help you to realize it's this book where the power is. It's this book where the success is. It's this book. This book. This book is a profitable book, you see. It's a profitable book. This book is a book of profit. This book is a book of earnings. This book is a book of positive. This book is a book of gain. This book is a book of proceeds. This book is a book of output. This book is a book of yield. This book is a book of production. This book is a book of growth. This book is a book of happening. This book is a book of accomplishment. This book is a book of achievement. This book is a book of fulfillment. This book is a book of attainment. This book is a book of success. This book is a book of advantage. This book is a book of satisfaction. This book is a book of prosperity. This book is a book of triumph. This book is a book of thinking and thriving. This book is a book of flourishing. This is the richest book in the world. This book. This book. This book. This book. Some of you say you're crazy. You can say whatever you want. You can say whatever you want, but I happen to believe there's a God. And that God wrote a book, and I've got it right here. This book. This book. Somebody get up and act like a fool, late night television. You'll sit and laugh and not think they're crazy. You go to a ball game and act like half lunatic. You can yell and scream, and you can worship all your lost baseball, basketball, and football stars. You don't think they're crazy. I can get up and promote the God of the universe. I can get up and say there's a holy God. He never sinned. He's perfect. He's infallible. He is the everywhere present one. And you say, you're nuts. No, you're nuts. You don't intimidate me one little bit. Me and God make a majority. You say, what are you standing on? This book. Right there. That book. You say, where do you get all your courage from? This book. This book is the answer. This is the answer, Daddy. This is the answer, husband. Hey, children. You say, Brother Onza, look up here at me. Young people over here, look up at me. You look up at me and you listen to me very well. Let me tell you the greatest thing that you could give your daddy for Father's Day. It would be that you would begin to live by this book. Stop breaking his heart. Stop rebelling against him. Stop rebelling against this book. Obey your mom. Obey your dad. Obey your God. You want to get him a card that you bought down at Hallmark for $3 and think, look, I'm a good child. No, you're not. You're a good child if you'll obey this book. This book will keep you from breaking your mama's heart. This book will keep you from breaking your daddy's heart. This book will keep you from breaking your preacher's heart. This book. This book. This book. You don't want to break your Heavenly Father's heart? Live by this book. This book, you see. This book. You see, this is a book of prosperity. True prosperity, Father, is being guided by this book. True riches, wife, is a wife that lives according to this book. Real success in a church is guided by this book. I'm not changing the methods that I've been given through the years. I got the message that I have passed down from my forefathers, and they come from this book. This book. This book. Whatever you do with this book will determine what God does with you. You reject it, you're going to find yourself having a really rough life. You accept it and live it, life gets better real quick. This book. This book. This book. This book, the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 34:21. This book, it says, 2 Chronicles 34:31. This book, 2 Kings 22:13. This book, Revelation 22:7. This book, Revelation 22:9. This book, Deuteronomy 29:20. This book is a good book. This book is an infallible book. This book is a perfect book. This book is an inspired book. This book is a powerful book. This book is a profitable book. And this book is an every word book. It's an every word book. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse number 3, one of many verses that refer to this, it says, and he humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not. Neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. By every word of the Lord doth man live. We are commanded to live by every word. God said, you are to live by every word of this book. That means there has to be an every word Bible. For God to command me to live by every word, He would have to give me an every word Bible. Matthew chapter 4, verse number 4, it says, but He answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Hey, that is not only a promise that God would preserve His word, but it is a reminder we're to live by every word. Psalm 12, verse number 7 says, thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. That meant God said, I will make sure that you have a Bible that's an every word Bible. And I've got one, the King James Bible. Every word in this book is pure. Every word in all the words in this book are pure. Each word in this book is flawless. Without exception, all the words in the book are pure. Without exception, altogether, the words of this book are pure. All the words in this book are totally pure. All the words in this book are wholly pure. All the words in this book are perfectly pure. All the words in this book are entirely pure. All the words in this book are utterly pure. All the words in this book are exactly pure. All the words in this book are without exception pure. All the words in this book are completely pure. Hey, listen. This book is pure. The big words are pure. The little words are pure. The nouns are pure. The verbs are pure. The pronouns are pure. The linking verbs are pure. The prepositions are pure. The conjunctions are pure. All the words. All of them. All of them. All of them. Pure. They're pure. They're perfect. You see, that's the answer. That's the answer. What's happened to America? Well, we took this book out of the public school. What's happened to America? We're trying to take this book out of our court system. What's happened to America? We want to take In God We Trust off of our coins or hide it on the rim instead of printing it right where everybody could see it. What's happened in America? We want to take God out of the Pledge of Allegiance. We want to take this book out of our society and put the sodomy in and the drunkenness in. We want to put the drugs in. We want to put the humanism in. We want to put all that trash in. America's falling apart. You say, why? Because we have rejected this book. This book. This book is my book. This book ought to be your book. This book is our book. If this book is your book, then let's read this book. If this book is your book, then let's memorize this book. If this book is your book, then let's love this book. If this book is your book, then let's preach this book. If this book is your book, then let's teach this book. If this book is your book, then let's stand for this book. If this book is your book, then let's be willing to die for this book. If this book is your book, then let's obey this book. Some of you are shouting amen. Well, we'll find out. You'll have to put your obedience where your mouth is. Anybody can say amen, preacher, amen. We'll see you tonight at church. This book. If this book, if it's our book, then let's make sure that we believe this book. If this book is your book, then let's spread this book. If this book is your book, then let's support this book. If this book is your book, let's support ministries that believe only this book. If this book is your book, then let's submit to this book. If this book is your book, then let's have faith in this book. If this book is your book, then let's depend on this book. If this book is your book, let's say amen to this book. Let's say amen to this book. Let's say amen to this book. If this book is your book, then we need to give our time for what's written in this book. If this book is your book, then respect this book. If this book is your book, then let's follow this book. If this book is your book, then let's lift up this book. If this book is your book, then let's study this book. If this book is your book, let's be faithful to this book. If this book is your book, don't doubt this book. If this book is your book, let's tell others about this book. If this book is your book, let's live this book. If this book's your book, let's admire this book. Hey, if this book is your book, let's repeat this book. If this book is your book, let's lust the presence of the God of this book. If this book is your book, let's say amen to what's in this book. If this book is your book, let's fight for this book. If this book is your book, let's defend this book. If your book is this book, then depend on this book. This book is the greatest book of history. This book is the greatest book on earth. This book is the greatest book in heaven. And what this world needs? Hey, you know what America needs? This book. You know what our public schools need? This book. You know what your family needs? This book. You know what dead churches need? This book. You know what backslidden Christians need? This book. Some of you, let me ask you a question. Away from God, the way you live your life all week long, come to church, put your smile on, act like a good Christian, but at hell you live like an animal. At home you live like an animal. It's hell at home. You're cussing, you're screaming, you're yelling, you're throwing things. You go to work, you laugh at the filthy jokes that everybody out in the world that doesn't believe this book laugh at. Can I tell you what your backslidden soul needs? This book. Get your Bible out and start reading it. And stop reading it like it's a fairy tale and realize that's a command of God and you are to obey it. You are to obey the words of that book. If the Bible says you're not to cuss, you're to shut your mouth and stop your cussing. If the Bible says you're not to be a critic and a gossip, you're to shut your mouth and stop it. This book is the answer. Hey, the problem around here would never be that the book's not preached, because we preach the book. We preach the book. Nobody wonders where I stand this morning. Nobody wonders what's right and wrong. The problem is not what's being preached. The problem is not what's in this book. The problem is in the pew when you won't obey this book. This book. Your marriage shouldn't be a mess if you're a part of this church. Why? This book. Teenagers, some of you that are rebellious, some of you at the end of the year were acting like crazy people. Couldn't wait for the end of the year so you could run off and rebel this summer. What your problem is? You got a this book problem. A this book problem. This book problem. This book. Wives, obey this book. Husbands, obey this book. Sons and daughters, obey this book. Christians, obey this book. You show me what mess you're in. You show me. You show me what your mess is. Wake up. I can't believe somebody could be asleep during a sermon like this. But there's only two. Believe me, they won't be asleep for the rest of the service now. You show me what mess you're in. You show me what mess you're in. You show me what mess you're in. Show me in the balcony. You show me what mess you're in. You show me on this platform what kind of a mess you have in your life. So what went wrong? Somebody got away from this book. Backslidden Christians need this book. America needs this book. The world needs this book. This book. This book. If you died today, are you 100% sure you'd go to heaven? You say, oh, I don't know. I've got the answer. You say, what's the answer? This book tells us what the answer is. This book. This book. The Bible teaches you're a sinner. The Bible teaches there is a penalty for your sin. The Bible teaches that Jesus Christ paid that penalty with His death, His burial, and His resurrection. The Bible teaches that if you will turn to Jesus Christ, ask Him to forgive you of your sin, come into your heart and save you, at that very moment He'll save you once and forever. You never lose it. I will not apologize for that stand. You never lose it. Once you get saved, it's yours and it is yours forever. Because it was not because of the works of your righteousness, but according to His mercy. It's not. You are saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. John chapter 10 tells us that once you are placed in the shepherd's hand, no man can pluck you out of the Father's hand. The Bible says in Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, not might be saved. His mercy is sufficient. And if you ask Him to save you, He'll save you and you'll be saved. You'll be saved forever. And anybody that teaches anything other than that, that's false doctrine. Clear and pure. The very same false doctrine you can trace all the way back to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden by sowing fig leaves to cover themselves and their nudity. God said, we got to slay an animal to cover up your sin. Blood had to be shed, looking forward to the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. And that's how everybody's been saved. In every what so-called dispensation, everybody's been saved through the blood of Jesus Christ by grace through faith. But this book, that book. I'm not here lifting up Jeff Owens. I'm not here lifting up the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. I'm here today to lift up this book. You say, well, I'm not coming back. That might be best if you feel that way about this book. I don't want somebody like that running around here ruining our people. You cause people to doubt this book. That's evil. You tell people not to come to church where they preach this book. That's evil. That's evil. You keep people away from this book. That's evil. That's evil. If you're not saved, you need to get saved. If you are saved, I want to recommend something to you. Let me recommend this book. This book. Fathers, I bring to you today my Father's Day message. What are you teaching us? Just one thing. This book. This book. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here today and you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you need to get saved. You need to get saved. Who here would say, "But the ones I'm not saved. I'm not on my way to heaven. Pray for me. I need to be born again." Would you raise your hand and say, "Pray for me. I need to be born again. I need to be born again." Good, I see that hand. Who else? You say, "I need to be saved." Good, I see another hand. You say, "I need to be saved. I've never trusted Christ." I'm not talking about getting religion. I'm talking about getting Jesus. You've never been saved. For those of you that just raised your hand and said, "I'm not saved," we're going to have what we call an altar call. In a moment, the instrumentalists will begin to play. When they begin to play, we'll stand. When we stand, the choir will begin to sing. When the choir begins to sing, the men sitting on this platform will step down off the platform and post themselves down front at the end of each aisle. If you've never trusted Christ, I want you to leave your seat, walk down the aisle, walk up to one of these men and say, "I want to be born again," and we'll take a Bible in a matter of a few minutes and show you how to be saved. Mom, are you saved? Dad, are you saved? Young people, are you saved? If you died today, do you know for a fact you'd go to heaven? If not, why don't you come? We'll take this book. This book and the promises of this book and the Jesus of this book and the plan of salvation from this book will show you how you could be saved so you would never die and go to hell. There are people in this building, you've not been reading your Bible. You've been in the church a long time, but you don't read your Bible. There are people that work here. You don't read your Bible. That's a sin against God. This book is the book that keeps us right with God. You had problems with somebody this week because you're not in this book and obeying it. That's why you don't get along with somebody at the church. It's your rejection of this book. This book. This book. Who here would say, "Brother Owens, God's spoken to my heart today about my Bible"? Will you raise your hand? There are hands all over the building. If you need this altar, you come. Don't you be afraid to leave that balcony and walk down the back stairs and come in here and get on your face and say, "God, I've not been into this book. I've not been reading this book. I've not been obeying this book." It's time for some of you to change your life and obey this book. Stop treating it like it's God's suggestion book and take it as God's book. The commands of God. Live it. And do right. Be quiet back here, young people. It's not funny. We don't play around during these church services. This book. This book. I'm going to ask the instrumentalists to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed.